Harry Styles has been in the spotlight since he was 16 years old, competing in a British talent competition. He landed in a boy band that rocketed him to superstardom. Now, wherever he shows up, he turns heads in one direction, towards him. Styles recorded his first solo album in 2017. His second is now out. It's called Fine Line.
Sky never looked so blue, so hard to leave it. That's what I always do, so I keep thinking back to a time under the canyon moon.
When Harry Styles dropped by our studios this week, he told me as he wrote this second solo album, he couldn't help but be influenced by the music he grew up with.
You know, you grow up listening to, like, what your parents listen to, pretty much.
You have no choice to.
Right, and it was, you know, for me, it was like, it was the Stones, Beatles, Fleetwood, a lot of Queen, Elvis Presley, Shania Twain, Savage Garden, Norah Jones. That was like
You had good parents.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I'm pretty thankful for them, but that was kind of like the base of what my first experience, I guess, with music was. And I feel like you can't help but have a lot of references from just what you grew up listening to.
Staring at the ceiling, 2 weeks and I'll be home. Carry the feeling through Paris or through Rome.
Speaking of Fleetwood Mac,
yeah.
I saw you've gotten to know and worked with Stevie Nicks.
Mm.
What's that like to get to know somebody who was the soundtrack of your childhood?
It borders on like an out-of-body experience, and every time I'm with her, on one hand, I'm just trying to enjoy being with her and kind of soaking in. She has so much amazing advice. So,
would you share one great piece of Stevie Nicks' advice?
Her thing has always, for me, been just do it your way. You know, you just have to do
she
it.
She wrote a song like that, is that
what you're talking? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She was like, go your own way. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. But I think at the same time, while you're in the room with her, like I'm sitting there thinking about being 10 years old, my favorite moments about it aren't usually the show, it's the practicing. When we first played together, it was at the Troubadour.
The famous LA nightclub.
Yes. And it was an amazing moment, but my favorite was sound checking, because it's like four people in there and just us singing in this empty Troubadour. And for me, that's like a, you know, a moment that I'll kind of always hold on to.
Yeah. Speaking of moments,
mm.
where you wish you could tell your younger self, buddy, like, you have no idea what's
yeah.
coming.
Yeah.
I want to play a tiny bit of you. This is from 10 years ago.
Oh, good.
When you auditioned for the British reality show X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, Simon Cowell, was asking you, what are your future plans here? This is you.
Yeah. So I'm going back to college in September.
And what are you going to study at college?
Law, sociology, business, and something else, but I'm not sure yet.
Wow.
I have to say, I listened to that and I thought, there's a lot of us, you know, who wanted to be a rock star and ended up being lawyers. You have clearly gone the other path.
I sound like I'm 8 years old.
Is it funny listening back to that? You were 16, I think, in that.
Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah. What do you wish you could tell your 16-year-old self?
I guess just like, don't worry. I think a lot of the time, especially in the early years of that stuff, I think I spent a lot of time worrying about getting things wrong and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. And I'm trying to like let go of the worrying thing. And that's kind of what I've loved the most about this album rather than the first one, I think. I had a lot of like fear almost, whether it was conscious or subconsciously, just about getting it wrong. And I feel like when I listen back to the first album now, although I still love it so much, I feel like I was almost like bowling with the bumpers up a little bit. Like I can kind of hear places where I was playing it safe and stuff. And I think if you're making what you want to make, then ultimately no one can tell you you're unsuccessful because you're doing what makes you happy.
Any tiny part of you that wants to go back and study sociology or law?
I think if I went back to school, I'd want to be a therapist.
Hmm.
I think.
Heal people, help them get better.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing. Your clothes.
Mm.
You've gotten obviously way more attention for your music than for your fashion choices, but you dress amazingly. You wear suits, but they're like patterned and florals, and you had that blouse that got all the attention at last year's Met Gala, that black sheer blouse you were wearing. Describe for people who can't see you, which is everyone, what you're wearing right now.
What I'm wearing right now, I'm wearing a brown-gray pair of trousers, a shirt. Yep. It's a cream shirt with thin red and blue stripes on it. And then I'm wearing a fluffy light blue jumper with a picture of a chick hatching an egg.
And it's working.
Thank you.
And you got nail polish on.
I have nail polish on, yeah.
You do wear stuff that does blur the line between what's...
I've started to feel naked if I now don't have nail polish on.
Me too, and you're making me think I'm overdue for a manicure. But, I mean, what are you hoping people will take from that? Is this just, this is what I want to wear, deal with it? Or are you trying to send any kind of message?
No, I don't feel like, for me, it's not like doing it to send a message. Part of being on the last tour, when people came to watch the show, I kind of realized, oh, these people just want to see me be myself. And I'm telling them to be themselves. And when I have children, I plan on telling them to be themselves and do whatever they want to do. And I just didn't want to be a hypocrite, really. I probably had a better answer than that. But
that was a good one.
I guess not.
You've managed to do a whole music interview without actually talking about the songs on your latest album.
Yeah.
Is there one you would send us out on?
My two favorite songs on this album are probably Cherry and Fine Line. Fine Line I wrote in the gap in the tour. It was January 2018, and I was at my friend Tom's house, who I work with, and we just kind of started strumming this thing, and we started layering all these vocals, and it turned into this like 6-minute thing. When we wrote it, I kind of knew it was the last song of an album, and we ended up taking it to Bath in England, where I was making this one for a while, and I wanted it to turn into something else at the end. I wanted like a big, you know, kind of crescendo ending. And then while we were in Bath, Sammy Whitty started playing this little thing on the piano, and I kind of tweaked it a little bit, and I was like, that has to go at the end of Fine Line. And now I think when I listen to it, it's one of those where I'm just like proud that it's mine, I guess. Like, I'm so happy. It's one of those songs that I've always wanted to make.
Harry Styles, it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.